WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Israel has been targeting Iran's air defenses and missile launchers, while Iran has been launching missiles at Israel. Some got through Israel's defense system. The BBC's Hugo Bashega is in Jerusalem.
It was a long night of attacks across the country. Sirens sounded, alerting people of the threat from Iranian missiles. There were loud explosions here early in the morning in Jerusalem as the air defense systems tried to intercept some of those missiles that had been fired by Iran. One of those missiles hit a residential area in a city south of Tel Aviv. At least two people have been killed.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed the people of Iran after attacking their country, urging them to rise up against their government.
We're in the midst of one of the greatest military operations in history. And as we achieve our objectives, we're also clearing the path for you to achieve your objective, which is freedom.
CBS's Sam Vinograd says it's too soon to tell how effective Israel's strikes on Iran's nuclear sites have been.
We're still waiting for the battlefield assessment when it comes to Iranian nuclear stockpiles and attacks on nuclear sites. But Iran was closer to a nuclear weapon before these Israeli strikes than it ever was before.
Iran's UN ambassador says 78 people have been killed in the Israeli attacks, including top generals and scientists. Tel Aviv's airport is closed, as has the airspace over several Middle East countries. CBS News Pentagon reporter Eleanor Watson has a preview of today's military parade in Washington, celebrating the Army's 250th birthday.
Soldiers dressed in Revolutionary War uniforms to the Army's main battle tanks, which weigh in at 80 tons apiece. Nearly 7,000 soldiers will march along Constitution Avenue from the Lincoln Memorial to the Washington Monument, passing the White House, where President Trump, on his 79th birthday, will be watching from a reviewing stand.
Last night, U.S. Capitol Police arrested dozens of people who are protesting the parade and the deployment of National Guard troops in Los Angeles. No King's Day protests against President Trump and his policies will be held in hundreds of cities across the country today. In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott has deployed 5,000 National Guard troops to keep order at the demonstrations there. A portable cell phone charger is being recalled.
More than 1 million power banks are under recall across the U.S. after some fires and explosions are reported by consumers. Electronics maker Anker is recalling certain PowerCore 10,000 power banks because the lithium-ion battery inside can overheat, posing fire and burn risks. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says those who bought the chargers are urged to stop using them immediately and contact Anker for a free replacement. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
The company says there have been reports of two minor burn injuries. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers battle the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals face off again today at AmFam Field. St. Louis trying to snap a six-game losing streak. Last night, the Brewers held on to win 3-2, thanks to some good base running by Sal Frelick, who has also improved his play in right field.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to improve every year. I think last year I was definitely able to get to a ton of balls that I thought I really did a good job, with my first step quickness and stuff like that. And then, this year I think just the arm accuracy is something I was working on a ton, worked on spring, and just making sure we're having clean transitions out there and just throwing it on the money. Doesn't need to be, whipped as hard as I can or, head snapping, pulling balls down, but just, making sure it's a good long hop, one hop, and getting it there.
And the Brewers are signing first baseman Aaron Vaughn to their Nashville team. The crew acquired Vaughn in that trade for pitcher Aaron Civale, who was sent to the last place Chicago White Sox. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today. We'll see a high near 67. Showers and storms tonight with a low of 60. 79 on Sunday with showers and thunderstorms likely. Sunday night, scattered storms, a low of 63. Monday, scattered storms and a high around 82. Currently, 53 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll talk with Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch about the weekend headlines and also check in with Clean Wisconsin on Pollinator Month. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabe.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. As we kick off Act 2 here, missed you during intermission. Thanks for sticking with us. It is Friday, and we are barreling towards the weekend in cold, gloomy summer Wisconsin. But it's great to have you with me anyway. Let's warm our hearts tonight with some laughter and some more talk. It is a bar band Friday night. Rocker will be here in just a few minutes filling in for Terry Barr with new music and great conversation. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I have tons of comedians on the show, and I think I might have found the hardest working one in all of show business after doing a deep dive on this guy's career. Steve Hofstetter joins me now over the phone. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, although I don't work as hard anymore. I'm getting old now. So,
well, you're younger than me, and I will say I looked at your website
before.
Well,
then my apologies.
I cannot believe everything you've done in your career. Like, just even tangentially from comedy, like, you're a very busy guy. You've got charity and TV gigs and all kinds of stuff. So it's great to meet you. And let's cover as much as we can in the short time we have together. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. You know, all things considered, it's nice to be reminded why I moved south. Just because the idea that this is June is silly.
Oh my gosh. I will say this is rare. And this is coming from a guy who lived in warm weather for a long time. It is tough to take at times, but we welcome you anyway. And, where are you based out of, Steve?
So I'm based out of Charlotte, North Carolina now, but okay. I grew up in New York. So, you know, I'm used to winters that become summer for 2 weeks. And sure, there is that, you know, brief little period between like, oh, hey, this is terrible and we want it to be warmer, and like, oh my God, why won't it get colder?
Yeah, so. Exactly. So how long have you been in this racket? How long have you been doing stand-up, and where did you get your start?
I've been doing stand-up 23 years, so my career is almost old enough to rent a car.
Sweet.
I started in New York. I went to college in Manhattan, and I went to a bar one day that had a comedy night, and I was watching it, you know, being like, oh, I could do this. And a lot of people have that thought, and a lot of people are wrong.
Right.
It took me a while before I could actually do this. And that's just how it works with everybody.
Yeah. Eventually you find your stride. And if someone's been doing it for 23 years, you know that they did at some point. So you're in town, you're in Northeast Wisconsin, this area. Tell us about that this weekend.
Yeah, I'm at the Skyline in Appleton. I think we're like 22 tickets from sold out right now, great because it's a weekday night.
Yeah.
You know, I love a weekday night show because it's full of people who don't care about a weekday morning. which is just a much better crowd. I've been to Skyline plenty before. It's great. I'm looking forward to it. I just had shows in Milwaukee and sold out one in Madison right after Appleton. So it's going to be fun. Thanks, Wisconsin, for coming out.
Yeah, well, we like to laugh. There are great comedy clubs here, so it's good that you're here, and I'm excited to hear how the shows go. I have to ask you something. Okay, mm-hmm. So when I was a comedian, I started like in 1990, and I only did it for about 7 or 8 years. One of the guys who was very good to me starting out was Dan Whitney, also known as Larry the Cable Guy. So mm-hmm. he got me in at a club in Milwaukee, which ended up being one of my favorite clubs, got me into some clubs in Florida. When I was looking at your Wikipedia page, you did something. I would just love it if you could tell the story because it sounded hilarious. Yeah. And I don't know if there was actual bad blood there or if it just read that way, but it's a very funny story.
Well, there wasn't bad blood at first okay. So here's what happened. Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy, is a comic who used to have a bunch of different characters. He had Larry the Cable Guy, but he also had like an old Jewish woman. He also had a gay guy. And like he would do a lot of radio with these characters. Larry the Cable Guy is the one that took off. And Dan kind of became him. Humans are infinitely adaptable. And suddenly he was getting all this praise. And he went from a private school kid from Nebraska to telling everyone he was a pig farmer from Florida, which he's not. And it just all this stuff that was, you know, he went from satire to validation. So I released an album called Cure for the Cable Guy because I was tired of, you know, people yelling get her done at shows and stuff like that. And, and the premise was that, you know, I wasn't the cure for the cable guy. We all are. Like this easy homophobia and racism and stuff that he was doing in his act is not what we should do. Now, he thought it was fun satire at first. And then the second week it was out, it sold more copies than his album did. And then he did not find it funny anymore. I actually hadn't thought about it for many, many years. This was in 2006 that it came out. I hadn't thought about it in a very long time. And then I wrote a book about my 6 years as a stand-up. And so as I was writing the chapter about that album, I was like, you know, I should look up what he's up to. So I found him on Twitter. Of course, I was blocked. So even though I've never, you know, never really interacted with him. I logged out. This is, you know, while I was still on that hellscape of a social media site, I'm not anymore.
Right.
But I logged out because that's all it takes to see someone who blocked you. And I found his whole account was an old man version of the satire character. It was all kinds of stuff about like pandemic denial and anti-BLM and just all kinds of stuff that the young Dan Whitney would not have agreed with.
Yeah.
And it kind of broke my heart.
Oh, man. So where are you guys at now? At least and I didn't mean to bring up something that would take you back to a bad memory, but it looked like, or at least what I read, was you guys kind of ended okay. He just said, get her done.
No. We've never ended. The only time we've actually interacted was there was a radio show that had us both on, which was an ambush for both of us. We did not know that was going to happen. But there was a radio show that had us both on. And so, you know, I talked to him briefly and I asked him, I said, how do you feel about your character going from satire to becoming validation for people? And literally he said, get her done. And I was like, well, we don't need to go into this now because I was hoping to have an intellectual conversation with someone and you decided to be a cartoon character.
Oh, I did not mean to bring that up. If that was, I truly read that like, oh, they seem to have worked everything out, and they're like pals
now. Not even remotely. So,
I apologize for that. Then, where are you? Mentioned Twitter. I'm on it so reluctantly. I found Blue Sky. I love Blue Sky. I'm on Facebook. Whatever. Where can people follow you and learn more about your career and where you'll be performing?
So pretty much everywhere except for Twitter.
Okay.
I have a very large Facebook, YouTube, Instagram,
sure
Threads, Blue Sky. I'm on Substack now, which I thought was just this thing where people would post columns, but it turns out it's a wonderful way to interact with people. Super supportive community. And a lot of creators are doing collabs on there, which is really cool. Because like all of a sudden you'll see two different people you follow and be like, oh, they're just hanging out on a live stream now. And that's just a really cool thing about the way entertainment is right now. So
that's fantastic.
Look, you just Google Steve Hofstetter. If you spell it wrong, Google will correct you. It's fine.
Yeah, that's how I... Okay, so I just did that. I did a voice Google thing. If you start with comedian, or maybe you don't even have to, your name comes up because of your social media presence. You've got like 2 billion views or something like that, which is pretty incredible. You are a New York kid, as you said, a Jewish comedian from Queens. I think you know where I'm going with this. Who are your influences, Seinfeld? And is he one of them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was like, you're asking me about Seinfeld? I've only interacted with him once, but he did speak at my sister's college graduation.
Oh, that's cool.
She went to Queens College also, but my influences growing up, when I was real young, my dad used to play me albums for, you know, George Carlin and Dick Gregory. Nice. He also played me Cosby, and I never really liked him, and I feel so vindicated now. Oh, do I feel vindicated. I think Carlin and Gregory were probably my biggest early influences. I got to tour with Dick Gregory for a week, and that was just the coolest, and I brought my dad with me, which was incredible. Because my dad saw Dick Gregory when my dad was 19 years old. And so to be able to like actually introduce them was just the coolest. And then, you know, as I got older, I got real into Bill Hicks and Mitch Hedberg. And the thing that they all have in common is that they did stand up about their truth, whatever that truth is. Right. And, you know, that's what I gravitate toward also.
That's so great. My guest is Steve Hofstetter. He's a stand-up comedian, immensely successful. You can see him at the Skyline Comedy Cafe this weekend in Appleton. So we have a few more minutes with Steve. You mentioned Bill Hicks. So incredible. I did have the opportunity to work with him in Milwaukee in the 90s. Hedberg, too. Here's a great story. I was headlining in Grand Forks, North Dakota, probably before I was ready. And Mitch Hedberg says to the club owner, come on, man, you got to headline me. He was middling, Steve, and he was great. And I'm like, how is this kid middling? A week later, he's on Letterman, and then he just takes off.
Oh, my God. And that was the that was the Letterman set. I know that set.
Yeah. And he was a good guy, too. That's what made me like we hit it. He was a really good guy. And I love seeing people like that, like, as you say, are beholden to the truth, talk about the truth and, you know, just have that kind of success. It's very cool.
So one of my favorite Hedberg stories, and a friend of mine used to open for him. And one of my favorite Hedberg stories was they were in a hotel, you know, somewhere after a show, and a bunch of comedians hanging out, and they're not being too disruptive, but I guess they get a noise complaint. And so a security guard comes up from the hotel and, you know, tells them they have to keep it down. And Hedberg just goes over to him and just goes, how much money would it take for you to go away?
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Did you ever have an opportunity?
I never got the chance to work with the guy. And, you know, it's one of my big regrets in comedy is that I did have the chance to meet him and I passed it up for a party like a dummy.
Oh, no.
And then he died a couple months later and I never got a chance.
Well, I'm going to, you know, I don't mean to make this a pissing contest of regret, but Bill Hicks was, when I worked with him in Milwaukee at 1 a.m. after we were hanging out at the club, he said, if you were a really good guy, you'd drive me to Chicago so I could get a Polish sausage at Maxwell Street. And I'm like, I really liked him and he was already a legend. I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, I've been drinking and everything. Same thing about, I don't know, maybe 6 months later he had passed away. And I think his was one where people didn't really know he had that cancer except for those close to him, but I still regret that, like 3 hours in the car there and back with Bill Hicks. Are you kidding me?
I that would have been incredible. I mean, I got a chance to meet Mitch's widow.
Oh, okay.
And you know, the person who that joke of I don't have a girlfriend, I just know a woman who would get really upset if she heard me say that, like, yeah, right. That's who it was about. And yeah, I got a chance to talk to her at a show and she was just such a sweetheart. And I realized like something that forever changed me in that moment, that I was like, oh yeah, the rest of us lost a hero.
Yeah.
She lost a hero and the person she loved. Like, wow. That is, and so often when like a celebrity dies, you know, people who that person touched their life through their art have every right to grieve.
Oh yeah.
But we often forget that, yeah, there are people in their lives who are also grieving.
Absolutely.
And that's a completely different level.
Dude, I would love to have you back on when we have a little more time. I know you got to get going. I hope you have a great show tonight. I hope Wisconsin warms up for you, if not weather-wise, laughter-wise, and I hope you have a great time here. But I would love to have you back when we can really dig deep.
Yeah, absolutely. You let me know.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Steve Hostetter. 22 seats left, folks, in Appleton. Get your tickets to Skyline. He's a great comedian, one of the hardest working I've ever seen, if his website is accurate, and I'm sure it is. We are coming right back with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabe after this. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this Friday night edition of our fine show about entertainment, where we talk about movies and TV and music and comedy and theater and all kinds of fun stuff and anything fun happening in Wisconsin. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite movie or TV dad? It is Father's Day on Sunday, and that is what we are asking. I think we did something similar to this a year ago, Conrad, but it was worded a little differently. But in honor of Father's Day, who was the best movie or TV dad? And going to the text line now, we got to catch up on some texts here from the 414, Tom in New Berlin. Tom is talking about Charo, because one of the texters from last night said they didn't understand Charo's fame, because that was our question yesterday. Who is a celebrity whose fame you just don't understand? And Tom from New Berlin defends Charo and says she had high energy that you can love. I know friends like that. Well done, Tom. Paula, Conrad's mom, says Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie. That's a great dad. Did your mom make you watch Little House on the Prairie?
No, she did not. Yeah.
That's a good mom. Thank you, Paula. I hope you have a great Father's Day on behalf of Conrad's dad. Nancy on the text line says, Alan Epps, played by the great Judd Hirsch in the show Numbers. Boy, I never watched that. Did you ever see that show?
Never.
It's like from the early 2000s. I think it was like a critically acclaimed show. I have not seen it, though. But thank you, Nancy. Thank you for the text. from the 951, Sage Weil, our fearless leader from Madison, says, Atticus Finch, I saw that, and that reminded me of my own father. My father, Tom Schwab, a senior, I'm a junior, always reminded me of Atticus Finch, because he took he's a trial lawyer, and he took cases where he went to bat for the underdog. He's had cases where he went into a courtroom, and there was a slew of lawyers on the other side. And he, you know, typically he had a lot of success in defending people who couldn't afford lawyers and, you know, going after insurance companies, trying to screw people over. So I love that answer, Sage. And it reminded me of my own dad, just 2 days away from Father's Day. So have you seen To Kill a Mockingbird, Conrad?
Yeah, it, actually.
Great movie.
I had to read it. And then we watched the movie, like, you know, yeah. I forget what grade it was. But yeah, that was. It's a good book, really, and a good movie.
And Robert Duvall played Boo Radley, a very young Robert Duvall. Jody Hinman on the text line says, or on social media says, Andy Griffith. Oh, that's a great, I'm surprised we haven't heard Andy Griffith yet tonight. Thank you, Jody. That's a great one. Listening on WMDX, Everett from Sun Prairie says, dude, I missed the first half, but it hasn't been mentioned. As far as favorite TV dads, Reginald Vell Johnson as Carl Winslow on Family Matters was amazing. As a kid in the 90s, it was one of my favorite shows. He brought the perfect mixture of exasperation, warmth, fatherly wisdom, humble acceptance of indignant situations, and humor. He was also perfect as his role as the hero advocating response officer in the American Christmas classic Die Hard. Love the show. Thank you, Everett. Yeah, he was outstanding in Die Hard. That actor just has a likable persona. He's a really, in everything he's in, especially in Die Hard, he was like kind of the heart of the movie in a weird way. Great text, though. Thank you for listening, Everett, and thanks for the nice words about the show. Tony the Trucker says, Pete, Fred McMurray, my three sons. Watched The Godfather. Oh, he segues and says, watched The Godfather of Green Bay last night. Very entertaining. Had me in stitches. Oh, thank you, Tony the Trucker. I hope you didn't watch it while you were actually trucking. But he says, when holding a door, I always say good morning or afternoon. When no response, I say loud and clear, well, I guess not. Still usually no response, but the looks I get are priceless.
I'm going to take a trick from his book next time.
Yeah. You know what, though? It's kind of, I don't know, you could say something that comes across as passive aggressive, like, you're welcome, or we'll do the leg sweep. I don't know, but...
Or shaking your head violently like I did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You pull a neck muscle because you're so outraged. Going to the stream, we got some texts we need to catch up on here. PJ says, that potato needs to be printed on a T-shirt. PJ, one of our favorite couch potatoes. Thank you, PJ. We're thinking about it. He says, haha, I got Pete to check out The Hills Have Eyes. Yeah, you did. And there's another one. That one and It Comes at Night. Those are my two I need to see. And I got to finish check The Hills Have Eyes. So thank you for that, PJ. That's what we're about here. It's an idea exchange. What haven't you seen? What are we watching? That's what we're doing here. PJ says, if you're disturbed by what you have watched already, I tried to warn you. So far, I'm okay with it. I haven't seen anything that terrible. Maybe I'm not as far into it as PJ thinks, but PJ says TV dad would be Al Bundy, hands down. Yes, another along the Homer Simpson lines, I think. A Fox TV dad. There you go. Dave Kunish says Bosch. I'm with you, Dave. Dave and I are Bosch buddies. Love the show, Bosch. And yeah, he's a pretty good dad to Maddie. I think Bosch is a good dad. You still have time to get your text in, folks. If you want to let us know who your favorite TV or movie dad is, let us know. We are here on a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr, folks, is absent once again. She is taking a well-deserved vacation, and Rocker is being a real trooper. He is filling in for the third week in a row. And, you know, I've interacted with Rocker, I would say, over the last year and a half since I've been with Civic Media, but I love when he fills in for Terry because we get to see, it's just been good getting to know him. So I really appreciate Rocker filling in, and I hope Terry's having a great vacation. So, Conrad, I would love to indulge you. I know you have something you're just chomping at the bit to play here in honor of Brian.
Yeah.
To me, in honor of Brian Wilson. Do we have time?
Yeah, we can make it work. This is Adam Sandler and 51st Dates. Whenever I hear, wouldn't it be nice? This is what I think of.
Okay.
The Beach Boys? How nice of that man to give me a CD that will remind me of all the wonderful times I shared with his daughter.
What an ass! Wouldn't it be nice if we were older?
Singing it. He doesn't need to sing it. He just ruined Brian Wilson's beauty. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Israel says it's attacking more targets in Tehran after Iran launched missiles at Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. One missile landed in a city near Tel Aviv, killing at least two people. The BBC's Hugo Bashega.
Last night, the Israeli prime minister released a video message in which he urged the Iranians to rise up against the regime in Iran.
CBS's Sam Vinograd has more on the timing of Israel's attack.
By all accounts, Iran had enough highly enriched uranium to make about 10 nuclear weapons if it chose to break out to a bomb. It could have done that in a matter of weeks.
CBS's Eleanor Watson reports the U.S. is helping to defend Israel.
Using ground-based air defense systems and at least one Navy warship. The U.S. Navy has two destroyers in the eastern Mediterranean near Israel armed with ballistic missile defense systems and directed a third to head from the western Mediterranean east to be closer to Israel.
CBS News special report. I'm Michael.
The Brewers battle the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals face off again today at AmFam Field. St. Louis trying to snap a six-game losing streak. Last night, the Brewers held on to win 3-2, thanks to some good base running by Sal Frelick, who has also improved his play in right field.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to improve every year. I think last year I was definitely able to get to a ton of balls that I thought I really did a good job, with my first step quickness and stuff like that. And then, this year I think just the arm accuracy is something I was working on a ton, worked on spring, and just making sure we're having clean transitions out there and just throwing it on the money. Doesn't need to be, whipped as hard as I can or, head snapping, pulling balls down, but just, making sure it's a good long hop, one hop, and getting it there.
And the Brewers are signing first baseman Aaron Vaughn to their Nashville team. The crew acquired Vaughn in that trade for pitcher Aaron Civale, who was sent to the last place Chicago White Sox. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Ted Lasso star Jason Sudeikis learned a lot from his uncle, George Wendt. On a recent episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, actor, writer, producer Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, told Ted Danson that Sudeikis found out about his uncle's death while in the writer's room at Ted Lasso, then added that they matched tears with laughter by watching compilations of George Wendt as Norm. Orlando Bloom is alive and well after his surgery. No reason to panic, Bloom fans. The actor had elective surgery, which was a blood filtering procedure to remove microplastics or forever chemicals from his blood. The procedure is only available at one clinic in London, according to Collider. If you're thinking about checking out this procedure, just know that it costs 10 grand. Let's be honest, most of us will just have to cross our fingers and hope that having Tupperware in our blood isn't as bad as experts say. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today. We'll see a high near 67. Showers and storms tonight with a low of 60. 79 on Sunday with showers and thunderstorms likely. Sunday night, scattered storms, a low of 63. Monday, scattered storms and a high around 82.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha ha ha, how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird talks to us about noteworthy memoirs to put on your reading list. And what's the difference between a memoir and an autobiography?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Time to check out original music with Bar Band Friday on Nightlight. Now, your host, Pete Schwabba, and special guest, Terry Barr.
Welcome back. Hey, it is a Bar Band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. We do this every Friday, and we find new music and great conversation from whomever we have on from Max Inc. Radio. Typically, it's Terry Barr, and she is taking a well-deserved vacation. So we have gotten to know our pal, Rocker, her co-host at Max Inc. Radio, over the last 3 weeks, and it's been a blast to have you on the show, my friend. How are you doing tonight, Rocker?
I'm doing great, Pete. Thanks for having me once again.
Well,
it's a lot of fun.
You know, it's been a blast. And I checked my email and I said, oh, we haven't heard from Rocker. And I said, hey, Con, can we check in with Rocker? He comes back and he goes, he's just still preparing the show because you wanted to give us different stuff than you gave John and Gordy today. I mean, talk about being a workhorse. Really appreciate that, but not necessary. So much appreciated. So, this is great. So where do we start, Rocker? Are you your dime, your dance floor?
Let's start with Max Inc. Radio, Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Great show.
It's all local Wisconsin-made music. We have interviews with local artists, Wisconsin artists, and local personalities that we find. And then we have a live performance in our studio of a band each week. And this week we have Atwood Music Hall's Melissa Broom. Atwood Music Hall is the new live music venue here in Madison on the east side. It was an old church, and they redid it. Absolutely amazing. They've released a lot of pictures. Atwood Music Hall, Melissa Broom, she'll be in. We'll talk to her. Natty Nation. They are 30 years of Natty Nation. They're celebrating their 30-year anniversary. They are, you know, now legends in Madison in reggae. We're going to talk to Ja Boogie. And then Live in the Lair, our live performance is with Erin Oakley, and she is an acoustic pop singer, songwriter, and she's from Madison. And we're going to hear what she has to do. Now, Natty Nation, I was just talking about them. 1995 was when they started. For three decades, Natty Nation has been the cornerstone of Midwest reggae music scene, spreading messages of unity, love, and social justice through their powerful sound and unwavering commitment to their roots. And, you know, I've known these guys for this long. They are just awesome friends of mine. We'll have them in the studio tonight. They're Madison Area Music Association Hall of Fame inductees with over 30 Mama Awards.
Wow.
And Saturday, June 21st, they're going to be celebrating 30 years of their reggae revolution at the Atwood Music Hall. And I thought we'd listen to some of their music from their first album in 1996. This is Natty Nation and a song called Arise.
The wicked and the dreadful time, Mama Gideon. Got to stand up firm on your feet. Help the weak when you know you are strong. And your reward will be in Mount Zion. Arise, rise up, Rasta children, the time has come. Arise, Rasta children, got to take a stand. Arise, Rasta children, yeah. Arise, rise up, Rasta children. I want you blow for me now, now. Oh yeah, yeah.
Very nice. That was Natty Nation and the song Arise, brought to you, compliments of Rocker from Max Inc. Radio. So they'll be on tomorrow night, not live in the Lair, but you're going to be talking to them on Max Inc.
Yeah, it'll be an interview. We'll kind of be talking about their history, you know, what they're doing now, their upcoming show, and just kind of hear from them. It's 30 years as a band. You know, most bands, I don't even think, hit three. So yeah. Being around for 30
right.
is and, quite a feat.
And 30 Madison Area Music Awards in 30 years, that's pretty impressive too, Rocker. That doesn't happen very often, I would imagine.
And yeah, right. And the Mamas, I think, has only been around since 2003. So they won.
That's outstanding.
It's interesting math, right?
Yeah, right. Well, very cool. Okay, so you got Natty Nation will be on tomorrow night, and then you've brought some other stuff you can hear too. I love this.
Yeah, we can keep rolling through it. Well, definitely. Jenny Lupien and Jamie Poster, we talked about her last week, actually. We previewed this show. She was a Nebraska native, a physical therapist and gymnast coach, but she needed an outlet for music, so she became a singer-songwriter. She's paired up with Rapscallion and Faces for Radio guitarist Jamie Poster Saturday, June 14th, tomorrow night at the Beer Rock in North Sherman Plaza Center in Madison. But she plays all over Wisconsin, so we'll keep an eye out for her. But I thought I'd bring in a different song this week. This is called Street Dance from her 2022 EP.
Love it.
Baby, I saw you laughing across a crowded street dance. Sidewalk talking with the guys, oh, so easy on the eyes. Look on over to your right. People all around us, but you're the only one I see. This crowd keeps pushing us together, moving closer now than ever. Boy, you're standing next to me. Now you've got me dreaming.
That's great. That was Street Dance from Jenny Lupien, accompanied by Jamie Poster. So they're playing at, where are they? Oh, North Sherman Plaza, Beer Rock.
The Beer Rock. Okay. Yep. The Beer Rock is a little kind of a, like a restaurant bar, and they serve Beer Rocks. I guess the closest thing I could think of, and you would probably relate to it, is they're like pasties.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of like German pasties.
Yeah.
You know?
Very nice.
They're really good. So, yeah, they serve that and beer and, you know, have occasional live music there. And tomorrow night will be Jenny Lupien. Great little place if you come to Madison.
It says she's a Nebraska native. Is she Madison-based now, Rocker?
She's Madison-based now, and she actually goes between here and Nashville and kind of down southwest as well. Kind of a traveling person, but based here in Madison, yes.
Very cool. My guest is Rocker. It's a bar band Friday night. Rocker is one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio, along with his pal Terry Barr and co-host. Terry's on vacation. We'll be back next week. Rocker, we've been having a blast as he's filled in the last couple weeks. So, all right, I know this name, Rocker, the next one you have. I recognize this name. Son of a Midwest legend. Tell us about Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts.
Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts, they are a really good band, of course, from Rockford. Rockford, Madison, and Milwaukee is kind of that tri area where bands really travel between, which Cheap Trick, of course, his father, Rick Nielsen, is the guitar player of.
Yeah.
And so we love to see Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts come through here. He's going to be playing at the Marquette Waterfront Festival in Madison. That's at Yahara Place Park, right on the Yahara River. It's a great little festival. It opens up the festy season here in Madison, June 14th and 15th. That's this weekend. The Marquette Waterfront Festival is the official curtain raiser to that East Side glorious season of summer festivals, of which Atwood Fest is one of them. So they're celebrating their 36th year this weekend.
Wow.
And they have all kinds of talent, two stages, national touring acts, local acts, regional acts. 11:30 on Saturday is the Dandelion Dash. So So bring your kids, and they can have this dandelion dash. It's a lot of fun. And then the next day, Sunday, at 11:30, is the Fool's Flotilla. And people make their own boats, and they dress in costumes, and they float down the Yahara River to where the festival takes place, and then the festival starts. So it's the Fool's Flotilla. You don't want to miss that. And then Miles Nielsen, his band is going to be playing Sunday, June 14th. They're the headliner on the main stage at 6:30 p.m. And Rick Nielsen's kid, you got to see him rock. They're from Rockford. Right now, let's listen to some Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts. This is Hands Up.
I'll take you back again. You give me everything. And if everything's anything, then I want it all. Put your hands up. Put your hands up.
That's great. That was Hands Up by Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts. Miles Nielsen, of course, is the son of Rick Nielsen, one of the founders of Cheap Trick. Boy, you guys have so much access to great music, rocker, just in that triangle, as you said, but mostly in Wisconsin, it seems like. It's just great.
Yep, that's true. This is Wisconsin is a great music state. I find in all corners just amazing musicians. And in Madison, we're really blessed to have a very high concentration of not only places to play, but just great musicians down here. And Milwaukee, of course, has an immense scene.
Yeah. All right. So this is my favorite band name of the bands you brought tonight. Tell us about tell us about Electric Spanking.
Electric Spanking. That's right. They are a band that they came out of the Baghdad Scuba Review. They're kind of a funky side project of a lot of those guys, a kind of jam band. The current lineup consists of four members with deep roots in Madison music scene dating back to the late 90s. And June 21st, they're going to be playing at, we just mentioned it, the Beer Rock at 7 o'clock. That's over in North Sherman Plaza in Madison. And then June 23rd at the Up North Bar at 6 o'clock. So a couple of shows coming up right around the corner for them. Let's listen to what the Electric Spanking sounds like. What do you think they're going to sound like, Pete?
I'm very curious. I don't even want to venture a guess. Electric, I guess.
Electric Spanking, it feels good. This song is called Good People.
There are more good people than there are bad people. So good people take over the world. There are more.
I would not have guessed funk rocker, but that's a great sound. I like that.
Aren't they a good band?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be really fun. June 21st at the Beer Rock, 7 p.m., Madison, and June 23rd at the Up North Bar. You know, they were on hiatus for a while, but it seems like they're popping up with these shows. Maybe they're just getting back together. I sure hope so. I'd love to hear a new recording from them.
My guest is Rocker. It's a bar band Friday night. We'll have more with Rocker after a short break. And we are jamming through a list of really great bands here tonight on Nightlight. From the 608, the answer to our question, my favorite TV dad is Frank Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's Evan from Madison. We'll read Steady Eddie's text when we come back, and we'll have a few more minutes with our pal Rocker on a bar band Friday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. You got the Civic Media Radio Network.
It breaks my heart. From a teardrop fall, I wanna cry.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claim that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwaba. Great to have you with me on this Friday night as we head into a Father's Day weekend together. It is a Bar Band Friday night. On Monday, we will have nutritionist and dietitian Sherry Stoka from Wayless MD will be here on Monday night if you want to ask healthy questions. And then the owner of the Time Community Theater, Phil Krause, will be here on Monday as well. Our text line, Steady Eddie, says, Pete, favorite TV dad, Wally and Theodore's dad, Ward Cleaver, played by Hugh Beaumont on the TV show Leave It to Beaver. He could be tough, but was always fair and loving. Pete, if you were a TV dad, what would the show be called? Steady Eddie, P.S. I think Terry Barr is now officially on sabbatical if she's not back next week. Send out a search party, but Rocker rocks too. Damn right. Thank you, Steady Eddie. I think if I was a TV dad, my show would be called In Honor of Conrad, How I Met Your Schwaba, because that's his favorite.
That's terrible.
That's a great name.
That's
Come on,
terrible.
Look for it next week on CBS. We've got a few more minutes with our pal Rocker, who's filling in for Terry, as we mentioned. We just heard Electric Spanking Rocker. Loved it.
Yeah.
Tell us about Automatic Lover.
Automatic Lovers. So they are just a great band, horns, real Latin feel, and they just got Joey B. Banks on drums. So Joey B. Banks is one of the more popular drummers in Madison, playing with Steely Dane and really plethora of other bands, too many to list here. And they are playing at the MAMA Awards this Sunday, June 15th at 7 p.m. That's at the Atwood Music Hall. You can see the theme. It features live performances by Automatic Lover, M. Shays, Red Door Duo, who we had live in the Lair last week on Max Inc. Radio, Jazz Flux, and the Mason Meyer Band. There's so much more. It's hosted by Cooper Talbot, and guess who else?
Rocker?
Terry Barr.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So she's got to be back pretty soon here. I'll be doing the red carpet, actually, in the cocktail lounge. Starts at 5:30, and the actual show starts at 7. It's the Madison Area Music Association Awards show this Sunday, June 15th at Atwood Music Hall. I have a song from Automatic Lover. This is called Sick Love.
Tell me that you're great, man, that you wish you had, man, that I am the biggest thing in your whole world. Por fa no te vayas, luego tú me extrañas, de tu vuelo soy tu cielo, soy tu sol. Somos un poema que se escribe con un siempre sin medir, sin razón como jugar. Somos la aventura y se repite cual demente.
The Atwood Music Hall will be rocking on Father's Day. That I think that's my favorite tonight so far, but this is all great stuff, Rocker.
They're a great band.
You think we could get one more in quickly?
Sure. Let's go. Oh, by the way, I thought I'd tell you that my favorite father on a TV show.
Yeah.
I was listening there.
Awesome.
Arthur, King of Queens.
Oh, there you go. Boy, we didn't hear Arthur tonight. That's a great one.
That's such a good one.
Hey, happy Father's Day to you too, buddy, as well.
Oh, thanks, Pete. I appreciate it. Frank Martin Bush and the Names. Have you heard him yet?
No, I have not.
He is going to be playing the sessions at McPike Park. That's here in Madison. And it's at the Garver Feed Mill. Garver Events brings 4-day festival to Garver Feed Mill in Madison coming up June 19th through June 22nd. Headliners include Armchair Boogie, Frank Bush and the Names, Iris Dement, and the Los Tex Maniacs. And
nice.
You can learn more about the sessions and view the full music schedule at sessions at McPike Park. sessions@mcpike.org. And of course, the sessions was held in a park here in Madison, which is why they have the website, but they've recently moved it to the Garver Feed Mill, which is now a community, like space. It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
And let's see, they also have a 2-day flea market there, an electric car show, food trucks, cold drinks, and more. Thursday, June 19th, the Johannes Wallman and the Precarious Towers, they're opening up the show. Professor of Jazz Studies at the UW, Johannes Wallman.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And then it's Frank Martin Bush and the Names at 9:30 p.m., where Heartland Twang meets Modern Grit. Frank is from Wheelhouse.
Love it.
So there's the news. They're a great local band that everybody loves. Frank Martin Bush and the Names. This is I Met a Girl.
Out of dreams.
So we're running short on time. Rocker, thank you so much, buddy. This is so much fun. Oh. Max Inc. Radio. Check it out tomorrow night from 6 to midnight. And be sure to check out Live in the Lair with Aaron Oakley. Thank you so much, buddy. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Pete.
All right. Happy Father's Day.
And it always is.
Yeah. Rocker, check out Max Inc. Radio tomorrow night, folks. 6 hours of amazing entertainment. Thank you to Rocker. And thank you to all my guests tonight, Steve Hofstetter and Stephanie Gurnow. We will be back Monday night. I hope everybody has a happy, safe Father's Day weekend. And Steve on the text line. Conrad's dad weighed in. Who's his dad?
Young Sheldon. Well, not actually.
Or George Cooper, right?
Lance Barber.
Oh, he's crushing it tonight. All right. We'll see you Monday, folks. Can't wait. Have a great weekend. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
That's what fine boys want to do. I want this feature out of me.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Israel's defense minister is warning Tehran will burn if Iran fires more missiles. Some of the missiles Iran launched at the Tel Aviv area got through Israel's defense system, killing at least two people. Iran says 78 people have been killed by Israel's attacks. CBS's Aaron Navarro says it's not clear if Iran will show up for tomorrow's scheduled nuclear talks with the U.S. in Oman.
Multiple U.S. officials tell CBS News that Special Envoy Steve Witkoff still intends to do that sixth round of talks in the coming days with Iranian officials, still to be determined where that exactly would happen, what that exactly looks like. Trump portrayed it as Iran, quote, having a second chance. But the Iranian foreign minister said that Israeli aggression against Iran has, quote, diverted the course of diplomacy. So it remains to be seen whether Iran wants to come back to the negotiating table, as the Trump administration is looking to do.
On this No Kings Day, protests across against President